Okay, so we're now going to look at the astrology of 2010, and it would be a good idea to refer to the file that's called 2010 Summary Notes and Planet Data, and also the other two 2010 files, which show the charts and the astrological calendar for the year. Okay, so the first thing to say about 2010 is that it is a really packed year astrologically. I can't remember a year in which there have been or will be so many inter aspects between the outer planets, Jupiter through to Pluto. It's very unusual for there to be so many squares, oppositions, conjunctions of the outer planets in any one year. So this immediately points to the fact that 2010 is likely to be a notable year, full of change, stress probably on a world level, some crises, and probably highly eventful. But as with all of these major aspects between outer planets, there's always the possibility of creative change and humanity learning and moving forward. So that happens perhaps more when things are difficult and challenging than when they're easy, which is perhaps also the case with individuals too. So I'm not going to talk about every outer planet aspect and event in turn, because there are just so many of them. So I'm going to pick out the highlights of the astrology of 2010. So just before I talk about the main themes of 2010, I'd just like to zoom out a little say that we are approaching, between 2012 and 2015, a square or 90 degree aspect between the planets Uranus and Pluto. And this is the first dynamic aspect between those two planets since they were conjunct or crossing each other, if you like, in the mid-1960s, which was a time of profound social change and upheaval. The years from 2012 to 2015 are going to carry that theme again, perhaps in a new form. But there's going to be many links during that period back to the 60s. But we get intimations of that upcoming pattern during 2010, when Uranus changes sign. It moves from Pisces to Aries, and when Jupiter moves into Aries as well, we have Saturn in early Libra and Pluto in early Capricorn, and all four planets are forming what we call a T-square, which is when they're all 90 degrees to each other, except for Jupiter and Uranus, which are joined or conjunct in early Aries, as I mentioned. And this pattern is most evident around mid-July to, or late July to mid-August this year. And it is a bit of a foretaste of things to come in a way. And it is a very unusual astrological pattern. And I'll be talking about that a little bit more in a few minutes. So we've got these planets in the first few degrees of the cardinal signs, Libra, Capricorn, and Aries. One of the other patterns that we have this year is Neptune conjunct Chiron. And this is in effect for most of the year, except perhaps during May and June. And this is rather a background influence. But it's very interesting because Neptune is the planet that symbolises spirituality, confusion, delusion, imagination, the soul. And Chiron, although it's not a planet, it's too small to be recognised as such, it's still used in astrology, and it often represents healing. And so the two planets conjunct each other throughout most of 2010 in the late degrees of Aquarius, brings the idea of healing to the fore this year, and a particular kind of healing in a way. It points to spiritual healing, mass healing, even healing via the internet, which perhaps, for example, could be shown by healing or surgery done remotely via the web. And it also has the connotation of the healing of social divisions, or divisions between different types of people and groups in society. So that's a very hopeful background influence during 2010. It's also connected with dreams and intuitions, and the importance of working with the highest abilities and aspirations of people. That's what will enable us to get through what might be some quite tough challenges this year. Okay, so back to the cardinal lineup, and some astrologers have called this the cardinal crisis, because the cardinal signs, Aries, Cancer, Libra and Capricorn, they all have very strong identities, a strong sense of identity, and when you get planets in those signs pulling against each other, you tend to get clashes between different interests and different groups and different different desires. So that may be a theme of 2010. One of the aspects within that pattern, within that broader pattern, has been the Saturn-Pluto square, which we're in at the moment in early January. It peaks at the end of January, but it's still in operation throughout February. And I mentioned that in the review of 2009, because we had another Saturn-Pluto square towards the end of last year. So really, that whole period from November through to late February is under the influence of Saturn-Pluto, which, as I mentioned, unfortunately has connotations of extreme cold. As you'll see in the notes, the summary notes, it also symbolises intransigence, very difficult situations that are hard to unpick and to sort out. But it also has the promise of being able to get to grips with some very tough, thorny situations and resolve them on a very deep level. So that is the positive potential of this quite stressful, quite hard aspect. There's a sense with Saturn-Pluto of being in the grip, the icy grip, if you like, of a difficult problem or difficult sets of conditions. But all things change, and all aspects and planetary patterns come and go. We'll see that influence fade by late February. We have another two Saturn-Uranus oppositions this year. We had two last year, and we had the first in this series of five on November the 4th, 2008, as I mentioned in the review of 2009. And so we get this continuing theme of instability this year. and the idea also of the overthrow of an old order with a new one, and the coming of a new way of doing things, and perhaps a conflict or a tussle between the old and the new, as the old, the traditional and perhaps the outworn, struggles to maintain a grip on events, on reality, on institutions, on ways of doing things. But you'll see a fight, if you like, between old ways of doing things and new, perhaps more enlightened or innovative ways of doing things this year. And that's, if you like, a continuing theme over the last 18 months. One of the other notable patterns within the cardinal lineup is the Jupiter-Uranus conjunctions. There are two of them this year. The first one in May-June, the second one in September, early October. And Jupiter-Uranus together has a strong sense of liberation, of freedom. There's a great thirst for freedom and change abroad at that time. People will be excited about the possibilities of change. And the last time these two planets were conjunct was back in February 1997. And in the UK, that was leading up to the general election when Labour got into power after having been out of power for, it must have been about 18 years. And people were obviously ready for change and excited by the prospect of it. And we have that pattern coming back again this year in late May, early June, which may have a link to the UK election this year, possibly. But it also is connected with innovation, technological breakthroughs, and also back in 1997, in February, we saw the announcement or the birth of Dolly the sheep, the first successful clone, which was obviously a major scientific advance. So we may see something of that order being announced either in early summer or early autumn. Now, this first conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus in early June is in the first degree of Aries, and Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. So there's a huge sense of new beginnings at that time, almost like a resetting of the clock, or the possibility of doing so. There's a great sense of, or there will be a great sense of wanting to start afresh and on a new and hopeful path. And because it's in Aries, which is the planet of energy, action, activity, self-assertion, and life, if you like, this conjunction carries with it the strong desire for freedom, and particularly freedom from rules, from oppression, from the oppression of leadership and bad governance, if you like. So it's quite a revolutionary pattern, and it may be that people will have a strong desire to rebel against leaders at that time, or perhaps large corporations, and take affairs into their own hands at that time. So it's going to be there's going to be quite a lot of upheaval and unrest during that period. But it also brings the possibility that we can all liberate ourselves from outworn, fearful, or old, or no longer useful mindsets or beliefs, and take individual responsibility for our own actions, and not wait for the world's leaders or our leaders or authority figures in our lives to do things for us. So it has all those connotations. I mentioned that Pluto had gone into Capricorn in the review of 2009. It went into Capricorn from Sagittarius in late 2008, and it remains in Capricorn till 2024. And Pluto in Capricorn is all about the necessity to transform the structures that human beings have created by which we run our lives. So that refers to the economy, to politics, and to business in the main. And all of those have to be deeply transformed if they are not already sustainable and equitable. And we've seen that, or we saw that immediately Pluto went into Capricorn, that the unsustainability of the world economy was immediately revealed, and with the consequence that it nearly collapsed, and the banking crisis, is a fantastic example, if you like, of that Pluto in Capricorn phenomena. Capricorn rules banks and governments and businesses. So that theme continues throughout 2010. It's the theme that the world has to work with and deal with and improve, if you like. And Pluto in Capricorn is picked out throughout this year by this series of aspects from the other outer planets, Jupiter, Uranus in particular, and Saturn. So that theme is very much to the fore this year again, bringing with it crises in leadership and in institutions. And that, particularly around the middle of the year, or mid-July to mid-August, when we see the Jupiter-Uranus-Saturn-Pluto T-square, that is very much a prominent theme. So, in summary, 2010 is likely to be full of challenges, full of changes, and not a little stress on the world level. However, these are all challenges, turning points on the road towards becoming a more sustainable and peaceful and equitable world. And the Neptune-Chiron conjunction throughout the year shows the potential for healing in all areas of life, really. But perhaps in particular in terms of social healing, and people realising that we have more in common than dividing us. And the interesting aspects and patterns that take place during 2010, they offer us all the potential to take action in an individual way to make the world a better place, rather than relying on the leadership of others to do it for us. So it has the potential to be a very liberating year, but one in which we all have to take our place within the larger pattern and do our bit to move things on in a constructive way. Okay, so I've talked about the astrology of 2010, and Chris is now going to discuss the astrology of the UK general election. So you'll be able to hear that and look at the relevant charts as well. Thank you.